Lovely to see you all, and I thank God for this privilege. There's times when you preach and you feel like, yeah, that you're on fire and that there's lots of anointing. Thank you. Thanks, Simon. That's very kind of you. And there's other times where, yeah, like Paul says, I do not come to you with strength and power, but with trembling. And I do feel that a bit this morning. But I'm trusting God that He will use this message to really strengthen and encourage you this morning. The message is called Attitude Determines Altitude. And this is a message that's come out of a series of talks that I listened to by Joyce Meyer. And, you know, sometimes you hear a message and it cuts right to the heart. And that's what happened when I heard these messages, these talks. I really felt God put His finger on a whole lot of things, and I found it extremely challenging, but also strengthening and encouraging. And you know, the problem is, though, is that we're slow learners. Well, I certainly am. I'm a very slow learner. It takes me a while for me to actually put into practice the things that God puts His finger on. And I had to listen to this message several times. And I want to encourage you, if you feel like you're a slow learner too, that it's a process, and we're all making adjustments all the time. And as I say, I'm a bit of a slow learner. Sometimes I say yes and amen to a message, and then it takes a while for my heart and my will and my actions to catch up with my mouth. And in fact, I've actually been struggling to put a lot of these things into practice. So I just want you to know that before I begin preaching. And I actually thought maybe I shouldn't preach on this at all, because I'm struggling so much to actually put this word into practice. But I really believe it's a life-changing... Whoop! For those listening on the tape, the pulpit just sank to my knees. Yeah, that's great. I think the Holy Spirit did that just to help me relax. Yeah, I really believe this message is a life-changing message if we'll just put it into practice. I'm also aware that when you preach, that there's a spectrum of people that you're speaking to. There are some on the one extreme who are actually very confident in themselves. So confident, in fact, that there's a danger that they won't actually hear the message. That they'll be thinking all the time, this is a really good message for so-and-so. And I really want to encourage you, if you're that kind of person, really try and hear what God is saying to you personally. But I'm also aware that there are people on the other end of the spectrum who... are perhaps not so confident, whose tendency is to be hard on themselves, where you have a very sensitive conscience and you are perhaps vulnerable to condemnation. Now, I'm a bit of a sensitive soul, so I understand that temptation, but I really want to encourage you not to come under condemnation when you hear this message. I want you to be challenged, but I don't want you to be condemned. And I must say that when I heard this message, I wasn't condemned. I was actually inspired. And that's my prayer for you, is that you will be inspired to change. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, I'm not going to be condemned. I'm going to be inspired. Okay, so back to my title. Attitude determines altitude. Now, in an aeroplane, there's a thing called an altitude indicator. And when the plane is climbing, it's said to have a nose-high attitude. And there's a horizon line, and the altitude indicator is above the horizon line when the plane is climbing, and the plane has a nose-high attitude. When the plane is falling, I won't say falling as in a negative sense, as in it's just going down. Well, I mean, when it's falling, it will also happen, but you know what I'm saying. When the plane is descending, it is said to have a nose down attitude, and the altitude indicator is below the horizon line. And it's the same with our attitudes. When, let's say the horizon line represents average, an average life. If you have a nose high attitude, you will live an above average life. If you consistently have a nose down attitude, you will live a below average life. Attitude affects altitude. Joyce Meyer says this: we can go to church for years as believers and have a bad attitude. We can have a bad attitude at home, a bad attitude at work, a bad attitude to the church, a bad attitude to the preacher or the pastors. We can be born again, but not taking anyone with us because our life is not a witness. And she says this: some Christians keep people out of heaven because their attitude is so bad. And I must say, I was really convicted when I heard that, because I know there are times when my attitude is so bad that I really do keep people out of heaven. If they could see everything, they certainly wouldn't put their hands up to say, yes, I'll be a believer, I'll be a Christian, I want to be part of this family. She says that she got saved, but then she really felt God say, your attitude needs to get saved. And she asked this challenging question: who are we affecting and how are we affecting them? People watch us to see how we will act. How we act and talk is important. Someone is watching you all the time. Our attitude is vitally important. Do you know that what really counts in our lives, what really determines our joy and our happiness and our peace, is not so much what happens to us? We can think, well, it's because of what the devil has made happen in my life that's affecting me. Or we think, no, it's what happened in my childhood that's the problem. Or we think, no, it's my boss. It's what how he is treating me. That's the problem. That's why I'm really struggling, why I don't have any joy or happiness or peace. But in fact, it's our attitude about what happens that really counts. You know, it's not so much about what happens in your childhood that affects and determines the course of your life, but it's your attitude about what happened in your childhood that affects the course of your life. Now, Joyce Meyer was abused, she was rejected, and she was mistreated as a child. So she really knows what she's talking about. She said for years, as a Christian, she was miserable, grumpy, and angry because of everything that happened in her life, until God put his finger on her attitude. The thing that really counts is whether you believe that God is bigger than the devil, whether he's bigger than your past, whether he's bigger than your circumstances, whether he's bigger than your boss, for example. If your boss is mistreating you and you continue to have a good attitude, if you trust God and put your hope in him, then God will change your boss, or he will move your boss, or he will bless you with a new job where you will be treated right. But if you get bitter about your boss, the chances are you will end up stuck where you are, or you will lose your job because of your bad attitude. Attitude is key. Life isn't perfect. Life happens. Stuff happens to us all the time, whether we're Christians or not. Do you know that it's impossible to have perfect relationships with people all the time? Even in the body of Christ, we have problems and we have struggles. Your attitude to what happens is key. It can be your worst enemy or your best friend. Your attitude is what actually determines your joy. When you have a good attitude, it stops you from being grumpy and miserable for weeks or years, regardless of what has happened to you. I believe this to be true. Everybody actually wants to be happy. And in the world, happiness is determined by what happens to you. But it's very different in the kingdom. And it's one of the greatest advantages we have as believers to know this fact, that our joy is not determined by what happens to us. As Joyce Meyer says, we can be happy even when our circumstances aren't happy, because happy lives in us. I just love that quote. We can be happy even when our circumstances aren't happy, because happy lives in us. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verses 22 to 24. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Verse 23, to be made new and the attitude of your minds. And if you look at the Amplified version of the Bible, it unpacks that and it says, to be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. To be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And that's very challenging, constantly to have a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. We need to keep watch on our attitude every single day. The wonderful thing is that you can change your attitude if you want to. It's a choice. And you know that even small children can change their attitude. I've seen it happen. I've seen parents say, your attitude stinks. Now I want you to change your attitude. I want you to go away and I want you to come back with a different attitude. I mean, these are little children. And the amazing thing is because they don't want the consequences of not changing their attitude, they go away and in a short while, I'm not talking about hours, it's minutes, they come back and they have a completely different countenance, a completely different demeanor. They have changed their attitude. Now, if small children can change their attitudes, then we certainly can. It's a choice. You know, God is sovereign. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has all power, all authority, all dominion. And yet he is not a ruthless tyrant where he has taken away all of our power. He has actually given us free will. He's given us the power to choose. And it's an amazing privilege that we have the power to choose. But the challenge is that although we are free to choose, we are not free from the consequences of our choices. And we need to make the right choice. If you have a problem in your life, change your attitude. Choose to have a nose-high attitude because being miserable and depressed doesn't solve any problems. Now, we have been given by God a power to choose. But we have also wonderfully, because he has given us his Holy Spirit, we have been given the power to make the right choices. You have been given power to choose life over death. You have been given power to choose a good attitude over a bad attitude. We have everything we need for life and godliness. John Maxwell is an author and he's written a whole lot of books on leadership and he says this, you may only be an attitude away from success. In other words, it's your attitude that makes the difference, not your aptitude. Now, aptitude means your skills and your abilities. And we often think, well, if I'm going to achieve in life, if I'm going to be successful, it's about my skills. It's about my strengths and my abilities. But actually, it's more to do with your attitude. Because you can see this, people who have done research, people can have the same skills but different attitudes, and those who have a bad attitude actually don't accomplish as much. And you can see those people who have less skills but a better attitude, and they're actually more successful than those who have the best skills in the world. It's your attitude that makes the difference, not your aptitude. Your attitude determines your altitude, how successful you will be in life. Joyce Meyer makes this point. Wouldn't you much rather work with someone who is less talented but has a good attitude Wouldn't you much rather work with someone who is less talented but has a good attitude than someone who is very talented but has a bad attitude? In her ministry, she has a huge number of staff, and she finds a humble, serving attitude much more valuable than talent or skill. She challenges her listeners with this. If you want to be valuable in the workplace, then go every day with a good attitude. Be a low-maintenance employee. Do you have a humble attitude, a thankful attitude, a positive attitude, a responsible attitude? Or does someone have to follow you around all the time, making sure you've done what's been asked? Are you prepared, diligent, punctual? I want to encourage you to take an attitude inventory. Which song is your attitude singing? Is it singing, "Raindrops keep falling on my head"? Do you know that song?
Yes.
Do the young people know that song?
No.
Okay. Are you singing that famous or infamous terrible song that Nigel gets so mad he wants to throw something at the radio when it comes on? "I'll do it my way."
Yeah.
Is your attitude singing that song, "I'll do it my way"? Or is your attitude singing, "Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day"? I love this quote from one of A.A. Milne's Winnie the Pooh books. "What day is it?" "It's today," squeaked Piglet. "My favorite day," said Pooh. Every day can become a favorite day if we're singing the right song. Let's look at Psalm 98, verse 1. "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him." And Psalm 40, verse 3. "He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." You know, some of us have been singing the same old sad song for so long that it's time for us to make a decision to sing a new song. It's a new song to the Lord, but also a new song to one another. You know, whenever we're going through trials and tribulations, there are in fact good and bad things that are going on. But the trouble is that we always focus on the bad rather than the good. And that's when we begin to lose our nose high attitude and we end up with a nose down attitude and we begin to lose altitude as people and as believers. And one of the ways that we can keep a good attitude is by putting into practice Philippians 4 verse 8. This is one of my favorite scriptures and yet it's such a challenging one to live in every day. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And if we want to keep a good attitude, we need to focus on the good things that are happening in our lives and not on the bad. Do you know that the Bible tells us we are blessed, happy and to be envied when we suffer for righteousness' sake? Why is that? Because God is just. How is it possible to be happy when we're suffering? God is just. When we are doing the right thing and we begin to suffer for it, the truth is that God is for you and he is just. And in the end, you will win. In the end, you will win a harvest. The wrong will ultimately be made right. Let's, for example, go back to the boss situation. If at work your boss is mistreating you because you are choosing to do the right thing, if you continue to do that right thing and have the right attitude, if you look to him and put your trust in him, he will begin to work in the situation and he will see that justice prevails. Satan cannot defeat someone who will keep a good attitude in the midst of trials and tribulations. I love that. Satan cannot defeat someone who will keep a good attitude in the midst of trials and tribulations. If you will just keep a trusting attitude, a faithful attitude, a positive attitude, a loving attitude, a peaceful attitude, a humble attitude in your circumstances, you will win. You will be rewarded. You will have victory in the end. If you look at John 13, there's that wonderful story where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. He disrobes, he wraps a towel around his waist, he gets down on his knees. And remember, in those days, people's feet were very dirty and dusty. He gets down and he washes the disciples' feet. And in verse 15, he says, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. He had a servant attitude, and he was setting an example for us so that we may also have a servant attitude. And if you look at Philippians 2, that very powerful passage about Jesus, we see that emphasized. Philippians 2, verses 3 to 8. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. He wants us to have a servant attitude. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. He came not to get, but to give. And a giving attitude is an incredibly powerful attitude. Joyce Meyer says this, a giving attitude just undoes the devil. He does not know what to do with you if you have a giving attitude. He does not know what to do with someone who gets up every day with this motive in their heart. How can I be a blessing? And how can I make someone else's life better? If we decide to live our lives to make someone else happy, the victory is won. As Joyce Meyer says, it's all over, bar the shouting. If we can just get our minds off ourselves and focus on others, the devil's plans for our lives will be made void. We need to have the same attitude as Jesus. So I want to encourage you in a situation that's challenging and difficult, where you really find it much easier to have a bad attitude, remind yourself of that scripture and say, well, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would his attitude be right now? You know, as people, we say if in our hearts, if only I had a different job, I would be happy. If only I had a different home, I would be happy. If only I was married, then I would be happy. And some of us are saying, if only I had a different spouse, then I would be happy. Some of us think, if only I had children, I would be happy. And others are thinking, when my children leave home, then I'll be happy. But Matthew 5 teaches us that happiness or being blessed is dependent on our attitude. You know that wonderful passage, Matthew 5, it's headed the Beatitudes. And it's blessed are the humble, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, that wonderful teaching. Well, somebody has described the Beatitudes as the be happy attitudes. And if you look again at the Amplified version of the Bible, it unpacks that word blessed. It means to be happy, to be envied, to be spiritually prosperous, with life joy and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward circumstances. Blessed are the poor in spirit. If you have a humble attitude, you will be happy, envied, spiritually prosperous, with life joy. Blessed are the meek. If you have a contented attitude, you will be blessed. You will be happy. You will be envied. You will have life joy. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who have the attitude, I want to do what's right. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are those who have the attitude, I will always believe the best about people. Blessed are the peacemakers, those who have a peaceful and peace-loving attitude. If you have these attitudes, you can be joyful and content no matter what life circumstances you're in. You will be blessed. I'm not saying that we don't have moments or even seasons of sorrow and sadness and mourning. We all do have those, and I do as well. And Ecclesiastes encourages us, saying there is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. But if we will have the right attitude, even in the midst of sorrow and sadness and mourning, we will find that the joy of the Lord is our strength. We can still be faithful, trusting, thankful, and humble. We can still have the right attitude. Joyce Meyer says this, we hear about joy and peace and power, that they're ours when we are born again, and yet we can't seem to get our hands on one of them. Haven't you felt like that sometimes? Where is all this joy and peace and power that's supposed to be in the kingdom? Why can I not get my hands on them? I felt like that at times. We rebuke the devil until there's no devil left to rebuke. We have hands laid on us until it's a wonder we have any hair left on our heads. We can wear the t-shirt. We can own all the books and the CDs. We can know all the spiritual formulas and still be a miserable mess. We can still live like whiny baby Christians, walking in the flesh, still getting mad every time we don't get our own way, still touchy, still getting our feelings hurt, jealous, envious, never content, never growing up spiritually. She makes the point, and it's true, when we get saved, these things don't just go away. Like the Israelites, you come out of Egypt into the wilderness, and you can see the promised land ahead of you, and you are free to enter in. It was only an 11-day trip from where they came out of Egypt into the promised land, but it took them 40 years. There were 2 million of them, but only 2 of them entered in to the promised land. What was the problem? Was it their enemies, the Jebusites, the Hivites, the Hittites, all those other ites we read about in the Bible? Was that the problem, that it took them 40 years to enter in and only 2 managed it? We all have our own ites. We have grouchy neighborites. We have bad bossites. We have bad backites. We have bad husbandites. We have bad childhoodites. But it's not our enemies that keep us from entering into the promised land. What kept the Israelites in the wilderness was their lousy attitude. One of the things they had was a complaining attitude. They complained about everything. They were murmuring and grumbling all the time. That's a negative attitude. And so often we have that same attitude, don't we? We are always murmuring and grumbling. In fact, we do it so often that we don't realize that we're doing it. Philippians 2 verse 14 says this, do everything. That means everything without complaining or grumbling. Without complaining or arguing. It's one of the most challenging scriptures. I want to challenge you. Try and go one day without complaining or arguing about anything. Joyce Meyer also makes this point. We can make a decision to keep our mouths shut. I'm not going to say one negative thing. But actually, you can see a bad attitude all over your face. Our attitude is our thought life turned inside out. And what we think secretly in our hearts will appear on our faces. It'll come out in words, facial expressions, and attitudes. This is a wonderful quote from Roald Dahl. You know, he wrote those wonderful children's books. If you have good thoughts, they will shine out of your face like sunbeams, and you will always look lovely. I love that. But the reverse is also true. If we have bad thoughts, if we are grumpy on the inside, our face will be full of shadows and people will see that we're miserable. Our countenance is as important as our words. Joshua and Caleb were the two Israelites who entered into the promised land. Why was that? Because they were full of faith. And we know that we are able to please God when we have faith in our hearts. But you can't have a bad attitude and be full of faith at the same time. Some of you might be saying, and I did when I heard this message, but it's so hard. It's so hard. But Joyce Meyer says that even that is a bad attitude. And that really made me laugh. She said, it's a give up, wimpy, whiny attitude. We need more of a warrior attitude as believers. Jesus was gentle and compassionate, but he was also a warrior. And he wants us sometimes to rise up as warriors. He wants us to have this attitude. I don't care how hard it is. Christ is in me, and I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, there are times when we feel very weak, and I know what that feels like. And that's when we need others to come alongside us, to help us, to pray for us, to encourage us. And also, we can cry out to the Lord in our weakness, because there's that wonderful promise. When we are weak, he is strong. And his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So I want to encourage you. Just adopt that warrior attitude. I don't care how hard it is. Christ is in me, and I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You know, it might be too hard for the world to keep a good attitude in the midst of trials and tribulations, but it should never be too hard for a spirit-filled believer. We have everything we need for life and godliness. So I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, I've got what it takes. And say it like you mean it. Our attitude is the prophet of our future. It is our best friend or our worst enemy. It's what draws people to us or repels them from us. It's the primary force for success or failure. Don't let your attitude lose altitude. Make an adjustment. You know that you can't actually sing two songs at the same time. You can't sing Raindrops Are Falling on My Head and Oh What a Beautiful Morning at the same time. You've got to choose one or the other. So I want to encourage you, please won't you join me, because I need to do this as well, and sing a new song to the Lord. Amen. Amen.